From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series in the Book of Acts, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Division Among the People of God. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Today's text is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 28 and verse 38. The iniquity of the holy things. What a veil is lifted up by these words, and what a disclosure is made. It will be humbling and profitable for us to pause a while and see this sad sight. The iniquities of our public worship, its hypocrisy, formality, lukewarmness, irreverence, wandering of heart, and forgetfulness of God, what a full measure have we there! Our work for the Lord, its emulation, selfishness, carelessness, slackness, unbelief, what a mass of defilement is there! Our private devotions, their laxity, coldness, neglect, sleepiness, and vanity, what a mountain of dead earth is there! If we looked more carefully, we should find this iniquity to be far greater than appears at first sight. Dr. Payson, writing to his brother, said, My parish, as well as my heart, very much resembles the garden of the sluggard. And what is worse, I find that very many of my desires for the amelioration of both proceed either from pride or vanity or indolence. I look at the weeds which overspread my garden and breathe out an earnest wish that they were eradicated. But why? What prompts the wish? It may be that I may walk out and say to myself, In what fine order is my garden kept? This is pride. Or it may be that my neighbors may look over the wall and say, How finely your garden flourishes! This is vanity. Or I may wish for the destruction of the weeds because I am weary of pulling them up. This is indolence. So that even our desires after holiness may be polluted by ill motives. Under the greenest sods, worms hide themselves. We need not look long to discover them. How cheering is the thought that when the high priest bore the iniquity of the holy things, he wore upon his brow the words, Holiness to the Lord. And even so, while Jesus bears our sin, he presents before his Father's face not our unholiness, but his own holiness. Oh, for grace to view our great high priest by the eye of faith.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread throughout the earth abroad the honors of your name.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace.
He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Chapter 6 of the book of Acts begins with a problem which arose in the church, specifically division. There was discontent among the Grecian Christians because their widows were neglected in the daily provision of food within the body of believers. As Dr. Cairns has reminded us, great blessing is often followed by subtle attacks of the devil. When Satan cannot succeed in external assaults, he often resorts to causing strife within the church, a tactic which can be much more serious than trouble from the outside. The sin of murmuring or complaining is particularly destructive of the unity of the church. It's often true that we fail at the point of our greatest strength. God's answer to the problem was the appointment of deacons, godly men who were installed to take care of the temporal needs of the church. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue a message entitled, Division Among the People of God.
made me think as I sat and pondered this before the Lord, made me think that you don't really need to go and viciously attack a Christian to grieve him. All you need to do is simply neglect him. Doesn't take much, you know, to say good morning or to go out of your way to ask after the health or welfare of another believer. Doesn't take much if he's sick or indisposed to make sure that his wife and family are looked after. Doesn't take much. But so often it's not done. And the sweet, close fellowship that ought to be in the Church of Jesus Christ is fractured because of the neglect of one set of people by another. This neglect leads to the forming of groups, cliques in the Church of Christ. So that very soon you could end up with a group here and a group there, and as the old Scottish saying goes, never the twain will meet. When that happens in the church, it's disaster. There's neglect here. And then the murmuring. Murmuring. If we are grieved, then there's a spiritual way to deal with it. And if somebody else is carnal, that's no reason for you or for me to be carnal in response. These people who had been wronged, and they were wronged, albeit not deliberately, they had the right to do things God's way. And they should have gone to the apostles. And they should immediately have had this matter dealt with from the Lord. But they ought not to have been murmuring and whispering and backbiting and dividing the Church of Jesus Christ. Now that's the position in the first verse, the problem of division. You'll notice God's answer was deacons. As I said, they're not called deacons here, but that's what they are. That's the official title later given to them in the Scriptures, although the word from which deacon comes does appear a few times here in these verses. Whenever you have ministry or serving, it is usually the basic word deacon. Now then, I want you to notice, as we think of how this office was created, verse 4, I want you to notice the top spiritual priorities of the church. What is it? To give ourselves to the word and prayer. It's the top business of this church. Let me say this. That is the number one priority of this preacher. And furthermore, it is the top business of the session of the church. The word of God and prayer. Now, there are other things necessary, as we see in this passage. The business end of the church, the looking after the poor, the making sure that our offerings are taken up and dispersed in the proper manner, all those things are important. But first and foremost in the Church of Jesus Christ is the business of getting down to the Word and the business of prayer. Let me put it to you that a preacher who is not first and foremost a man of the Word of God is failing in his task. A pastor who is not first and foremost a student of Scripture and a preacher and expositor of Scripture is failing in his task. A man who does not back his ministry with prayer is not a man of God. A church which does not love to listen to the Word is certainly falling from its high calling and grace. And yet, isn't it a tragedy that these top priorities of the Word and prayer today come bottom of the list in most churches? Isn't it a tragedy that in many fundamentalist churches, in fact, I can quote you a professor of homiletics. He's far away from here, so I can quote him. But he's an American, and he lectures in an American college, a very famous American college, supposed to be evangelical. And he told his students, if you're not getting great liberty after 7 or 8 minutes, finish. There's always tomorrow. And anyway, when you are preaching in liberty, you ought never to preach beyond 15 to 20 minutes. Now, they could sing for an hour and a half. They could watch films for an hour and a half. They could have a banquet for 2 or 3 hours. But for the preaching of the Word of God, 15 or 20 minutes. Well, I want to tell you, I don't quite believe in that. I sometimes stray a little more than 15 or 20 minutes on the introduction. And then we get down to the sermon. But I say this. When this church loses its interest in the preaching of the Word of God, it's fast going nowhere. And not only the preaching of the Word, but with that prayer, for these two things always go together. When this church loses its interest in praying, when we get to the stage, I quoted you an American a moment ago, I'll quote you a Northern Irish. I'm not quite call him a fool, for I think he's got over his folly. But he was fast becoming a fool. I quoted him before, and I'll quote him again. Who said that let's pray after the meeting, but we don't need to pray very long. For you know, you can do as much in 10 minutes many a time as you can do in an hour. I never heard that in any other department of life. Certainly I don't find that I can read as much in 10 minutes as I can read in an hour. I don't find I can be refreshed by sleeping 10 minutes rather than an hour. I don't find that I'm paid or anybody else is paid for working 10 minutes rather than an hour. So why should it be in prayer? When this church loses the interest in praying, when we're not willing to pray and pray and pray and keep at praying, and we're falling from our high calling in the Lord. My friend, let's get this. This is the top priority. Now, whatever else we do, and by the grace of God, there'll be much for us to do. Whatever else we do, let us remain faithful in the Word and in prayer. The devil's aim is always to stop this. Verse 3. Or verse 2 rather, at the end of the verse, it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense for a man to leave the Scriptures to do anything else? No, sir. Now, there are other jobs that a preacher's got to do. But when he gets to the stage that other things take the place of God's Word, he's losing out with God. It's not reason. It doesn't make sense, says the apostle. Peter says, but I'm called to preach here. I'm called to study. I'm called to pray. I'm called to lead the work of God here. I'm called to make sure this church goes on spiritually with God. Now he says, it doesn't make sense for me to have to stop to listen to a bunch of murmurers. Doesn't make sense that the whole work of the Word of God and the whole work of prayer should be brought to a stop because a few loaves of bread haven't been properly distributed. Doesn't make sense. But the devil would use those things to stop the preaching of the Word of God. And thus the deacons came to be appointed. And I want you to notice what their job is in good time. It's to ensure that the business end of the church is looked after adequately. But more than that, to make sure that the business end of the church does not take away those who are ordained for the spiritual oversight from that work. Now that's not to say that Peter and the elders of the church don't keep an eye on the business end. They do. That's not to say when deacons are appointed that elders will not meet with them. They will. But what it is to say is that we will not have the elders of the church sidetracked from their main job, which is the spiritual oversight of the work of God. Now, I want you to notice the four marks of these deacons. I suppose I should keep this sermon until I'm we're about to elect deacons, and then we can preach it with a lot more pointedness. But I want you to notice the marks of them. The apostle says, verse 3, look ye out among you seven men. It's good that they had men among them like this, isn't it? Just let's, as we look at these things, let's have every man ask himself, if they were looking for men like this in this church, would they find me such a man? First of all, their integrity. They are men of honest report. They are men who are above reproach. Their integrity. Notice their spirituality. Because they are full of the Holy Ghost. Does a man need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to serve tables? That's what the Scripture says. The truth is that if you're going to do anything acceptably to the Lord, you need the gracious infilling of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do that work. You can't do the work of God in the flesh. So they are Spirit-filled men. And then you will notice their third mark. They're full of wisdom. It's their sagacity. We need wise men in charge of the church of Jesus Christ. We need men who don't just fly off the handle, who don't just take a sudden twist or turn of thought. We don't need men in any sort of office or guidance in the church of Jesus Christ who simply go off on a tangent to use, I don't know if you use the word here in this sense, but we use back home, who simply get thick, who say, look, this is the way I do it, this is the way I want it, and that's it. And there's no budging them, there's no reasoning with them. No, we need wise men. And this wisdom is especially demonstrated in their dealing with people. That's why these men were appointed. They knew how to deal with people. Now, they may not have been the cleverest of men. They may not have been the most educated of men, but they were wise men. When I think of wisdom, and of course this isn't only the mark of the deacon, it should be the mark of the minister and of the elders as well. I always think of an old elder back in one of our churches in Northern Ireland, a place called Rasharkin. When I was senior minister there, they'd had a little bit of bother. One of those things. The minister in charge hadn't really wanted to face up to it, had run away from it, and like anything else in that nature, it got worse. And so when the presbytery pitched me in, I was up to my eyeballs. Now everybody knows I'm such a peaceable character that it was most out of character for me, but it had to be done. And it was rough for a little while, tough for a little while. And I had to take all the elders. One of them threatening, well, actually had resigned. One of those sword brandishing exercises, you know, I'm going to resign, please tell me not to. And so I said to them, all right, brethren, I want to tell you, I have a golden rule. Any one of you resigns, I accept your resignation without question. I never ask a man to stay. There were no more resignations. But a few weeks later, I had to go back in my own word because this old man called me. And he sent me a letter first and said, I want to resign. Not in pique, not in bad temper, not because he was in disagreement, but he said, brother, I'm very old now. Sometimes I can hardly stand. When it comes to the communion, I can't even carry the elements down the aisle. And I feel maybe the church would be the stronger if I were to make way for a younger man. His name was Samuel John Logan. Always get your full name in the country district, Samuel John. And I had his letter with me. I took it out of my pocket. I said, Samuel John, I said I would accept any resignation. And I tore it up, but I don't have any resignation. And I put it away. And I'll tell you why I did that. I have sat with that man in session meetings of the greatest importance. Now, he's just an ordinary countryman. I suppose he has never been beyond, even if he has been right through grade school. But he's a man of rare intelligence.
and he's a man of consummate wisdom. And I said to him, there's a new minister coming to this church. And even if you can never attend a session meeting, you're going to be a session member, for I want that minister, who could well be a young man and certainly new to this district. I want him to have an open door to come and talk to you and get the benefit of your wisdom and the things of God. My friend, that's the kind of men we need. Wise men.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.